College Golf Talk is back. The final day of April. Burko and Brentley with you. We say it each and every fall. Into the holidays, into the new year, the race, and the road to La Costa. Well, conferences, they're pretty much done. We had the women's regional selection show yesterday. Great job by you and the crew. Family matters kept me busy, but I was not worried at all. And we announced the women's regional selections, and we'll get to them in a minute. Of course, our yearly connection with Justin Silverstein, head women's golf coach at USC, to sort of give us another perspective as we break it down. But your quick thought to being on the show yesterday, what stood out, et cetera. Give me the 30-second summary from high above.
Well, first off, we didn't quite have the logo flex that you and I are doing with our hats right now. So there was no headwear on the show yesterday. But no, I mean, it's the same every year. But at the same time, I feel like we just get better and better at diving into the info, getting the stories. Paige and Jim are consummate professionals. Anna steering the ship. We missed just, so it wasn't quite the same, but
no, it sounded like it was a better show without me. Was it a?
Was it addition
by subtraction?
I mean, the only way to tell is the men's next week when you're back in the saddle. So
correct.
But no, it was great. We had some great guests. Justin was on, so he's getting a little bit of multimedia exposure on the Golf Channel. We may start to have to pay him some.
Get him on the payroll.
Stipend. Yeah.
We'll get that cleared out, and let's. Let's jump into it. Let's welcome Justin Silverstein, getting up bright and early on this Thursday morning. Always good to connect, my friend. We appreciate it. And I can argue this is one of the most exciting pods we do each and every year, because you give us the inside baseball, if you will, and seemingly you throw a team or a player at us that maybe we're missing, and I'll be damned if they don't make it to La Costa.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. This is one of my highlights of the year, and I know we're doing something right if I keep getting invited back on this. So appreciate it. I don't know if I can top my Fullerton call from last year, but we'll see what we can put together this year.
Well, why don't we get through it? Because there's a lot to dive into. The six regional sites for the women scattered across the country, and the top five teams from each will move on, and we'll just go right out west. Stanford Golf Course, the number one ranked Cardinal out there. We'll quickly rip through the 12 teams, and then we'll sort of break them down. Stanford, Pepperdine, Vanderbilt, Arizona State, Missouri, Arizona. There is your Cal State Fullerton pick from a year ago. They're a 7 seed. Illinois, Oregon State, Cal Poly, South Dakota State, and Navy. You're our guest of honor. Your thoughts on what Ann Walker and Stanford will be bringing out to Palo Alto?
Well, I think there's two kind of big-time themes here. I think one's familiarity with this golf course. You got Stanford, obviously, at home, who played incredibly well there in the fall at their home event. As they did most events, but that was one of their better performances of the year. And then you've got Pepperdine, Vanderbilt, ASU, Arizona, Oregon State, and Cal Poly that have seen this golf course a lot, whether that be the players or the coaches. And that helps a lot at this golf course. This is one of, if not the best courses in college golf. I love it so much because I think it just separates great play from good play because of the stressors on ball striking there. You have to drive it really well. You need to iron it even better. If you go back and look at the Stanford Intercollegiate individual champions from the past, it's like a who's who of really good golf. And I think that'll carry over here. I think the second theme I would say is just like you're lucky to be playing in this regional because it is like a proper regional setup. It's easy to get to. It's a major hub. It's easy to get to the golf course from the host hotel. And then it's a perfect golf course for a regional setup that separates, like I said, good from great. So I think these teams are in a good spot, but having familiarity at this golf course will help a ton.
I've heard the rough's up too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it plays much differently this time of year than it does in the fall. I think it plays a little shorter in the fall, so a little longer now with a little more rough. And we've been there for regionals a couple times and Pac-12s a couple times, and it definitely plays probably almost a full shot harder this time of year.
you take a look at it, obviously, I don't think anyone will have a reservation of saying Stanford will get through. They will likely win. But I start going down, you know, we always talk the East, the West, the East. Justin, you just sort of hit on the fact that it's about as easy of a journey as you can get. You know, Vanderbilt's a team I'm intrigued about. You know, I believe they'll get through. Brentley, what's jumping off? I don't necessarily see this the top five down the road getting in, and maybe I'm trying to overanalyze it.
Well, I think the kind of the coolest or I guess the weirdest thing is if you went straight by S-curve, all four regional hosts would have ended up at this regional. Obviously, that's impossible, but I just thought that was kind of a weird, quirky thing. Secondly, there was a lot of West Coast teams. I mean, I was playfully joking with Greg Allen that, you know, it was them and pretty much the old Pac-8, as he was saying, or something like that. So he was going to bring his old rings and see if he could show them off a little bit, show everyone else how it's done. But yeah, I kind of bad luck to get to be like the only high seed from, I guess, what, Nashville's the central time zone. Them and Missouri are the only ones getting shipped out there, and you got Arizona and Arizona State, all those teams. So I'm a little bit concerned with Vanderbilt, but at the same time,
really,
like they've been able to withstand like a bunch this spring. Tilly Claggett, who we've been used to saying her name the last couple seasons, she hasn't made the lineup since Darius. Elizabeth Rudisill, his top freshman that he brought in, AJGA All-American, she got subbed out at SECs. But you sub in Catherine Haas, she shoots 66 in the second round, another freshman. Lynn Lim shot 63 at Clemson a few weeks ago. So they still have a lot of firepower. I think they'll be okay. I just think it was super bad luck getting sent where they did and having everyone else kind of more familiar with that region and the grasses and all that.
What do you see coming out of there, Justin? Give me your five.
My five? I think Stanford's a lock. I'll give you that one. Pepperdine's played there a ton. What I'll say about Vanderbilt is he's got a lot of experience on that golf course, and so does Emily Berger, their associate head coach, who played there a bunch with Georgia. So I think the familiarity is going to help a lot at the top of this ranking, 1 through 5. So I think they're all in a pretty good spot.
Brentley, do you see anyone jump in from that 6, 7, 8 range, or are you going with the 5? Is Arizona going to get through, or Missouri at 5? I mean, because you're going to have a quality team, and we'll say that each and every regional, that their season's going to end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, usually it's that 6 seed that you're kind of tapping as moving in and kind of crashing the party, but Arizona's been trending the other way. I mean, they finished 11th or worse in 3 of their last 5 starts, I believe. So I think they probably like the fact that Missouri's ahead of them in the 5 spot, but I don't know. I kind of like all chalk here, but I'm going to go against the grain, and I'm going to say Cal State Fullerton goes back to back, getting through to nationals.
So which one of the top 5 wouldn't get through?
Missouri.
Okay. All right. I like it. We go from Stanford to Waco, Ridgewood.
What about you?
Club. Oh, goodness gracious. okay. Just to upset people in a good way, I'm going to say Arizona State doesn't get through.
In favor of who?
I'll go 5 and 6. So I'll go 1, 2, 3, right. 5, 6. Only because I can't just go the top 5. So we'll see. And then eventually a coach will see me at Lacoste and say, thanks for upsetting our team. It's exactly what
I needed. I was going to say, there's going to be a little woman who's going to want a word with you.
hey, we love Coach Missy Farke. It's only because it's too easy to say the top 5. We'll see how that plays out. Now we make the jump to Waco. Texas A&M, Oregon, Tennessee, SMU, Baylor, LSU, TCU, Tulsa, Colorado, Northern Arizona, Tarleton State, and Prairie View A&M. Your quick thoughts on this site, Justin?
Well, I think kind of a local flair is what I see here is you got A&M, SMU, Baylor, LSU, TCU, Tulsa. That's a pretty easy place for them to get to. You've got Oregon coming from the Pacific Northwest. You know, two notes I had is I think you've got two of the best individuals in the country with Kiara and Vanessa from A&M. So that'll be kind of a fun race to watch. And then Oregon's kind of my main note. And we haven't seen them at full strength in a while because Kiara didn't play Silverado right after Augusta and didn't play the conference championship last week. So I think their seed line moved. And Brentley, you'd probably know a little bit more about this than I do, but they were a lock at one all year and then got bumped down to a two. So that's kind of a one masquerading as a two because Kiara hasn't played and their ranking dropped a little bit. So really kind of two number one seeds there in my mind. But they'll handle that trip fine. Derek's a great coach and he'll have them well prepared and ready to go.
Agreed. Brentley? Yeah, and kind of the ace in the hole for him is what's he going to get out of Karen Tsuru? And she's been dealing with a back issue for gosh, like at least a couple years now. And he held her out pretty much the whole year because she couldn't play 36 whole days. She couldn't walk and then play golf. And so I think she played one event where they were in carts, and then he threw her out there at Anwa and tried to see what he could get out of her. And I think he saw some things that he liked. And I mean, hopefully, God willing, that she's able to get out there, because if they could get something out of her, I think that softens the load from when they lost to Bichaya midseason. And I think it softens a load for some of the girls at the back end who maybe aren't playing as well as they have for most of the year. But they still get through. I've seen some photos of the golf course. It looks in really good shape, which, you know, you can't say that for a lot of other regional host sites in recent years in Texas. So there is grass. It looks pretty pure. And yeah, should be good. I think it gets windy there too, right, Justin? Like it could get pretty diabolical with the wind. So yeah, I mean, I guess if you're looking for a five, like I'm going to go everyone in the top five except for Tennessee, even though coming off an SEC championship, like sometimes, you know, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I think sometimes you achieve something that the program's never done. You're on cloud nine, and then all of a sudden you got to recompose and get out there and do something again that's pretty difficult to do. And so I think maybe they could be caught in the back foot a little bit. And if you're asking me for a team that's going to get there instead, I'm going to go a little deep. I'm going to say Tulsa. I think I picked Reuters' squad last year to get through, and they didn't quite get it done. So, but you look at the results, like they've won a few times this year. They won conference. They really haven't had a bad tournament this spring. I mean, I guess you could say when they came out and played Justin's event, they finished 8th out of 11. That's really their only bad tournament. So, I like them staying close to home and getting the job done.
Justin, you're five.
To back up your point there, Brentley, Tulsa, actually at our event that we hosted at Rolling Hills with Eastern Michigan, they played really well through the kind of three quarters of that first day and were pretty high up in that leaderboard and kind of finished a little weak there when that wind kicked up and it got really difficult. But I was actually very impressed with their stuff that week. You know, looking down the list a little bit, I think LSU is a team I've circled. Garrett's a great golf coach. Again, similar to Derek, he'll have that team ready to go and prepared golf course-wise. Him and Alexa do as good of a job as anybody in the country. So I know their performance has been a little down in, you know, recent weeks, but I would look for them to bounce back pretty strong. And I think this is a golf course they can play really well on. So this time of year, I think prep matters. So I think good coaching staffs matter even more. And that's about as good as you'll find in the country. So I like kind of where they're at heading into this.
Yeah. How many drivers do you have to hit around that place?
Correct.
Never been. Don't know.
Yeah. Well, when you look at LSU, to your point, Brentley, arguably one of their best players has struggled mightily throughout the course of the year in the Rocio Tejeda.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, she struggled to get the ball off the tee. And it's been completely, I mean, I think everything's technical in a way, but I think it's been mostly mental and just the fact that, you know, trusting it, being able to swing 100% at it and believing that it's not going to go offline. But that said, Like she was last place at Darius Rucker by like 5 shots or 9 shots or something like that. Like that was rock bottom. And ever since then, like she's picked herself up and she's shown some flashes. I mean, she was 2 under through 11 holes or so, the first round at ANWA. And then of course, you know, on cue, doing what any good reporter would do, you call the golf coach because you think you might have to talk about her at the end of the day. I call Garrett. I talk to him for 10, 15 minutes, hang up, look at the leaderboard. And right around the same time, Alexis walks into his office and says, how's Rocio doing? And he says, well, she was 2 under. Then Brentley called me. Now she's 4 over. So
called in the cooler. I like it.
Yeah. It was the absolute just put her on ice. But no, I mean, she's a great player. And I'm a big believer that you never really lose it forever. And maybe this is the week.
She needs to be a counting score at least 2 rounds, if not all 3, in my opinion, for them to move on.
Yeah.
If she has those moments or those 2 holes or that 9-hole stretch, I don't think they get through. But that's a testament to who she is.
And if they don't get through this year, they got Reagan Denton coming in, and they should be okay.
I'm kind of with you on Tennessee. I think 10 days ago, if we were doing this, we would not have seen them as a 3. We would not have potentially picked them to get through. So I lean with you there. You know, TCU intrigues me. Justin referenced the teams close, and we've done this long enough. I've always maintained Baylor at home. It's a stroke per player per round. They're already 12 to the good. Am I off base with that, Justin? I'm sure we've talked about it. But those are my sentiments covering this for nearly 30 years, that's a stroke a day per player. Close, off?
I think you're pretty close because they're starting to get some data run from some data analysts in golf. And I think the percentages we see of getting through, no names, Brentley, make it look pretty good. I will say on the mental skill side of things and kind of diving into that, it can be the complete opposite for some players. Now, most are going to fall in line with what you said, but the pressure of playing at home for some increases a lot, and that can be more difficult. But you're right, the overwhelming side of things is going to be a huge advantage.
And to your point, I always remember Casey Martin, gosh, crazy to think that was a decade ago, playing at home, ultimately winning a national championship, and he was on your side. He's like, oh no, it's the opposite, because we're expected to play well and people are coming out to see. So I feel like Jay Goebel and the Bears will find a way to get through. Tallahassee up next. Seminoles hosting Florida, number 1, Wake Forest 2, UCLA 3, FSU 4, Eastern Michigan 5, Kentucky, Purdue, Clemson, ULM, North Florida, Little Rock, and what is that? Texas Rio Grande Valley there? Yeah, you're giving me the UTRGV. Hey,
both men's and women's get the AQ this year. We'll talk about the men's later. Well, we won't talk about them. We'll just mention them. But
thoughts on that when you see who's headed to Tallahassee, Justin?
This is the one I was probably most excited to talk about. Our men's team was here for regionals last year, so I connected with them last night. And the feedback I got was, you better drive it really well here because you need to place the ball in the fairway to get enough spin to get the ball to stay on these greens. And I'm sure they've softened up a bit since the redo, but perennially very difficult greens to hit. So greens regulation going to be a huge stat. Brentley could tell you exactly where I'm going with my next point, but it's the number 5 seed here. It's Eastern Michigan and Josh Brewer, who's done just an insane job here. Correct me if I'm wrong, Brentley, first regional bid ever for the program.
Yeah,
just incredible.
Last year.
Right. Yep. In the top 20 this year at one point, ranked 19th. He's done an incredible job, and he's really embraced, and the people around his program have embraced this new era in college athletics. There's some people in this world that look at that as a negative, and I think that's wrong. It's a positive. It's unbelievable that they found the support that they have at that program. I think there's a lot of programs around the country that wish they had that kind of support. And they've taken full advantage of it. But 1-4, they are really, really good. The twins are elite level golfers. He's got a freshman from Thailand who's a little baller. And Savannah DeBock's been good for as long as as we can remember. So he's done a great job. You know, I'll make my pitch right now because I think he's worthy of it. If they get through, he needs to be a finalist for National Coach of the Year. That's how impressive of a job I think he's done. So they finished second here in a tournament, I believe, already this year. So they're in a good spot, good scheduling by him. And all I'd say on top of that is UCLA's got a long trip. They hit it really well. So I like them here as well.
Brentley, what do you got coming out of the state capital?
I think the Eastern Michigan story is one of the better stories in college golf this year. And it kind of just shows, I think I said it on the broadcast yesterday, it just shows what can happen when you actually invest in women's golf financially. I know a lot more teams are starting to get in on rev share and all that. And it doesn't take much, you know, especially when you're only starting five players like every tournament. It doesn't take much to really do something cool. So kudos to Josh and the job that they've done. I mean, Florida State's probably a lock that, you know, not only are they playing at home, but this team, even though they're pretty young, they play well on hard golf courses. They played well at Darius. So I think Amy's going to have them ready. Florida is interesting. You know, Florida's kind of been the underachievers for the last 5 or 6 years. They got through to nationals for the first time since 2019 last year. And then, of course, your best player gets on the shuttle late to her tee time, two shots. And I think even though they ended up missing by three, I still think that was enough of a shock to Paula Francisco, at least early on in that round, that probably cost you more than two shots. But credit to them. I feel like they've really matured a lot this year. And I think a lot of that's due to Megan Propeck transferring in. Like, she's just a real mature leader for this team. And Paula's game has taken off. She just won SEC. She's ranked top 10 in the country. She has three wins individually this year. And she's finally starting to think her way more independently around a golf course. Like, talking to Emily, their coach, she's like, I, you know, would have to walk with her every round the last couple of years and kind of tell her, right, do this, do that. Now she's starting to do that on her own. So I think it's all chalk here. Purdue's a team that I think could scare some people, but I think this is the wrong golf course for them. I think I would have liked them a little bit better if they were in Chapel Hill or Ann Arbor or somewhere else. This golf course can't be that tough though, Justin, because I think I shot like 83 here back in 2022. So playing probably from a similar distance. So just got to be
generational driver, the golf ball. It's easy for you.
That's the only part of my game that's just straight. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we talked about it, East Lake. It's easy.
Yeah. You saw me almost drive the eighth green.
I did.
Yeah, right on the fringe.
Oh, must be nice to be young and flexible and all that good stuff.
I mean, yeah, I was like, playing like 275.
You're a big hitter. I, like you, I'm struggling to find somebody outside that top five that I can fall in love with. That doesn't mean it won't happen, but I can't force it. I can't throw it out just to throw it out. Okay. So, yeah, I'll be with you, kind of run the table. We'll keep it in the Southeast, Chapel Hill.
We got three more, right?
Yeah.
I think Justin's got a hard stop in 12 minutes. Is that right?
About. We'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. Right. We'll rip through it. UNC hosting in North Carolina. You got Texas, North Carolina, Mississippi State, Oklahoma State, Kent State, the top five. Virginia, Michigan State, NC State, High Point, Furman, Richmond, Howard. What do you got, Justin, coming out of North Carolina?
We talked about Eastern Michigan. Let's keep it in conference. Everybody, every sports fan loves a little action. Kent State, incredible performance at conference. That was probably their stiffest competition they faced in a while in conference as far as rankings are concerned. And they put up an incredible performance. You know, looking at their schedule this year, they've played a really diverse schedule and traveled around quite a bit, which I think will pay off this time of year, having seen different golf courses, different layouts, different grass types. So I think a really good job by their coaching staff, getting them moving around, possibly peaking at the right time, playing so well at conference, which is nice. And then Brentley, I think you brought them up yesterday, but NC State, playing really well of late since Moon Invitational. So their events past that, they've gone 2-4-1-5. Those numbers play pretty well at regionals. So, you know, on paper, I haven't seen them yet this year, but I like what they're doing and looks like they're playing some really good golf at the right time of year as well.
Brentley?
Yeah, this regional, I think I said it's going to have the most volatility. Like, I think you could see three top five seeds not make it. North Carolina, even though they're hosting, kind of goes against your theory, Berko. They haven't won at North Carolina since 2012, and they pretty much host every year. They hosted two events this year. Michigan State, I believe, actually won one of those events. So, yeah, I like Michigan State and NC State to get through over Mississippi State, and I'll say Kent State. Kent State doesn't get through, even though I think Kedrinova's a stud, and there's a lot of really top golf teams and golf coaches probably paying close attention to her game right now. NC State too. Marie Madsen, three wins, top 20 player essentially in college golf. Like, she's really good too. She could win individually.
Yeah, with you, I've been bullish on Texas all season long. I think they have a really good chance to go deep in La Costa. But like you guys, uncertain. Yeah, I keep looking at Virginia at six, also with the Wolfpack at eight. You know, maybe Oklahoma State's a team that could find their way on the outside looking in, but tend to agree volatility likely to happen as we quickly move along. Simpsonville Regional, Louisville in Kentucky, Arkansas, Auburn, Iowa State, Mississippi, Houston, Virginia Tech, Kansas State, Indiana, College of Charleston, Xavier, Western Kentucky, Murray State. Justin, what jumps off the page here there?
SEC heavy on the top side here. Three of the top four seeds from the SEC. Not surprising that one regional was going to get that. They were the dominant women's golf conference all year. So not super surprising there. I want to talk about Iowa State a little bit. Big 12 conference champs. We've been fortunate to play with them a bunch the past three seasons. Really fun team to watch. Crazy, crazy disciplined. I think I probably have talked about it on this podcast before. But crazy disciplined, really good wedge and short iron team. So I don't know much about this golf course, but if it falls into the category of if you drive it in play, you have a lot of short irons and wedges in that kind of 90 to 135 range. I know they do a lot of work in that area, talking to their coaching staff over the past few years. They're going to be in a really, really good spot. But so thrilled to see them have success. That team does a lot of things right. And you just love as a coach seeing that payoff.
Mm-hmm. I think this could be, I hate to use the word like weakest, but I think there are some teams that are probably trending the other way, especially as you get further down the seed lines. But I'm all in on Iowa State, just like Justin. I talked to Christy a couple days ago, and she said that their motto has been "Don't get comfy," and so they win their first Big 12 title in school history, and the players are already wanting to go out there and practice the next day. And she was, I'll share this too, because I think it's interesting. They do these things, and maybe other teams do these as well, but they're called urgency practices. And it's like high pressure, high heart rate stuff where you're running between shots. If you miss a putt, you got to run back to the last green and do something. There's lunges. You're balancing on one leg. Like it's a lot of, it almost sounds like CrossFit meets golf practice. And just seems kind of fun. So I'm all in on them. Auburn and Arkansas, like a lot of talent, like they're probably going to get through, but in recent years, like they've played some of their not best golf, this time of the year, but I think both get through. Ole Miss probably gets through. Houston's interesting because this is now their 10th time at regionals. They still have never gotten through to the NCAA championship as a team. I think that changes this year. I'm going to go all chalk.
K-State just jumps out to me, what Stu's done there. I have them potentially keeping that streak alive for the Cougars, the streak they don't want to keep alive, of not making to the NCAAs. Let's be respectful to Justin's time. Last one, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Oh, look at that. We saved the best for last. USC at the top. That's just good planning. Duke, Central Florida, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Northwestern, Kansas, Texas Tech, UNLV, Columbia, Quinnipiac, and Oakland. You're headed to A squared. What do you know about it? And I think we always say this every year. Your guys' regional records is probably better than anyone else in the last 10, 20, 30 years. There's something about this time of the year.
Yeah. Very excited to head to Ann Arbor. Did some quick research yesterday on it, made some calls to some people that I know have played there. I think as a golf dork, which you two might be with a Cypress Point club and an Augusta National hat on, anytime you get to play in McKenzie, you get excited. So we're excited to do that. Yeah, exactly. You know, getting some familiar turf, important this time of year. So we were thrilled. Kind of a weird thing here. So every few years, regionals lands right in the heart of our final schedule. So for us to be able to travel to a Big Ten school helps a lot because, believe it or not, we have to take 9 finals during regionals this year. So our academic advisor is going to be traveling with us. And in kind of an odd way, I think it helps us. It provides kind of a nice distraction for our players to not worry about their golf as much, to have to worry about their school. And fortunately, we've got some very self-motivated players who will be prepared to play. So that's a little bit of an added stressor, but we're thrilled to be able to go there. You know, weather could be an issue, but if you're going anywhere east of Arizona this time of year, that's something you might have to deal with. So golf course-wise, we're thrilled. Easy travel for us, familiar turf, and we'll get ready to go. And fortunately for me, one of my biggest golf mentors is Chris Zambri, and he's taken his team here a couple of times. So I'll be able to pick his brain about what's going on site here. So we're excited to get moving here in about a week.
Brentley, quick thought before we let our man go coach him up.
Yeah, so I think Justin has to be like Kirk Herbstreit. He can't pick the teams in this one, but that doesn't mean I can't. Look, Duke's going to get through. I mean, to have a player at the top of your lineup like Rianne Malixi and how she's played this spring after getting off to a little bit of a slow start, like that's a huge help. UCF, they haven't been through regionals since 2019, since the blessings. I think that was their second time in school history. Having a program best year, in my opinion, ranked 14th in the country. Emily's done such a great job there, in my opinion. We had her on the pod last fall, had her on the show yesterday. So much deserved there for the Knights. And then things get a little interesting. I think Ohio State, you probably advance just because of territory and not having to travel a lot. Kari Hollenbaugh hasn't quite played like she did a year ago. So that's a little bit of a concern, but I think overall they'll probably get through. And then it's anybody's game. I mean, Northwestern, again, so much success last year, you know, that great surprise at the end, winning it all, upsetting Stanford. But they've just been hit in the mouth over and over and over again. I'll recuse Justin from this first one, but Elise Lee transferring to USC right after they won the national championship. And then Ariana Lau bolting midseason, like just two huge losses. And that's a lot of golf score to try to make up. And so Northwestern just, I don't think they finished better than 8th now in 4 straight tournaments. They're really reeling. The only saving grace is that they're staying close to home, but I don't think that's going to be good enough. Keep an eye on Kansas, really well coached, and UNLV as well. But I'm going to get a little maybe more aggressive in this pick. I'll go with UNLV, the 9 seed, to get through. Even all the way across the country, it sounds crazy, but they won their conference. They beat a really good San Jose State team there pretty convincingly. So, yeah, I'll go UNLV as kind of the surprise of surprises.
Yeah, my biggest thing coming out of that, and you just hit on it, will Northwestern even be back to try to win 2 in a row? You've documented their challenges. I've always been bullish on their program. I would pick them every year to be a surprise, and the one year I don't pick them, they win it all. I think they find a way somehow to get through, and Oklahoma will be on the outside looking in.
Cool.
So I will say, Brentley, on your Kansas note, typically McKenzie's, you better speed it really well on the greens, like at an elite level. They do as much speed work, especially on the women's side on the greens at practice, than any team in the country. Lindsay's really bought into that aspect of practice and college golf. So I think they'll be well prepared for, you know, what McKenzie throws at us in Ann Arbor.
Well, it's like that Lila Louder ball, that long lag putt, right, to stone dead against Kiara in the playoff at U.S. Women's Am last year. So,
exactly.
Well, Justin, we'll let you go. And I know you said you're going to lean on Zambri and maybe get a little more intel. but I can make the argument that no one has seen more of that property ever in Ann Arbor than my wife. Because as a distance runner and track and field at Michigan, they warmed up. You know, you always run the university golf course. So for 4+ years, I'm going to say my wife has logged as many miles, probably where not to be, but, you know, you can always reach out. I'm sure Kate will tell you to stay left, to stay right. It's always fun, though, to catch up with you, to get your thoughts. Continued great play. Best to you and your team. And we plan on seeing you in Carlsbad in a few weeks.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you having me on. And I think I speak on behalf of all the coaches. We appreciate all the coverage you guys give us. It really does mean a lot to us. You guys go out of your way to make our players feel special and just keep doing what you're doing because we really appreciate it behind the scenes.
Likewise. Always a pleasure, my friend. All the best. Good luck in Ann Arbor. And I feel confident, Brentley, we will see the Trojans in La Costa. You know, and we do this every year. You know, that's why I always say, oh, that team won't, or you'll pick a UNLV. It's like March Madness. You can't just fill out all the number one seats. Something will happen.
Except for 2 years ago, you could have.
Well, yes. But you know what I mean? Over the course of time, there's that 8 or 9 seed, and there'll be a top 3 seed that doesn't get through, I believe. You know, mm-hmm. The numbers.
I see with weather and schedule getting out of whack. And the interesting point, too, with what Justin brought up is just exams. And I know I was talking with Paige a little bit yesterday before the show, and that was a topic she was going to bring up. And then we just never got there, you know, live television. But, you know, programs that are on quarters, programs that are on just regular semesters, like it all lines up differently. So like a Stanford, you know, I feel like has finished their exams and they still got one more quarter left. But like a USC, like they're right in the heart of it. And I'm sure they're not the only team. So I thought that was an interesting wrinkle. And you joke about your wife knowing more about Michigan. Justin will be calling. I mean, that guy leaves no stone unturned. he's going to be asking, all right, so what's, if someone hits it 50 yards offline on number 3, you know, about what, you know, what's the yardage there?
Yeah, she would know. There's no
your wife would have been good at those urgency practices, though, running between shots.
When you said that, I'm like, I could see her running down and, you know, run a quick 800, then hit a drive and keep moving. One quick nugget to wrap up. You had touched on it last week. South Carolina, the women, under 500, not in as a team. You predicted correctly, likely to get 4 individuals in. They did. But there are 2 different sites.
Isn't it funny how that works out? And look, I think it would have probably taken away from the actual regional if they were to have all 4 at one site and be counting like a shadow team score. I think that would have taken away a lot of the attention from the other teams. And so I think everyone involved collectively just kind of made the decision, or at least that's what it seems like, to not let that be the story. And so, I mean, kudos to everyone for taking the high road on this. And I know I, you know, tried to maybe stir up a little controversy the last couple of weeks, but long story short, did not end up getting approved to have 4 indies and compete as a team. And I think maybe moving forward, this is probably one of those things that you take a step back and you go, look, is the 500 rule really accomplishing what it's set out to accomplish? I mean, what you're doing is, yeah, you might have the 85th or 90th ranked team in the country get into 1 or 2 more tournaments, but there's a few things. One, it really disadvantages that like 40 to 65 range teams. Like a team like NC State, they're 44th, like they're a really good Power 4 team. They're probably not getting invited to a lot of tournaments because they're not like really good to where rankings wise to where it benefits playing them and even losing to them, but they're not bad to where you're going to beat them by 30 shots. Like they could actually beat you. And so coaches don't want to schedule that. We already saw a team like Furman, who's played in Darius almost every year. They're in that territory too. They weren't in Darius this year. And so I think that's one thing. Secondly is I get 500 rule if you're 50th in the country, but if you're the 24th ranked team in the country, like you are way better anyways than the last at-large team in. I think there needs to be some sort of stipulation that you could be under 500, but if you're top 25 in the rankings, you're still eligible. And then I think lastly, should conference count? Basketball, it doesn't, right? The 500 rule in college basketball, you know, that ends after the final regular season game, and then you play conference championship. So South Carolina, if you went based on that criteria, they would be in because they entered conference, I think a win or two
one,
over
yeah,
500.
I think they were one good.
And it's they have to play the toughest conference in America. I mean, they finished 10th or T10 at conference, right? And they went up in the rankings. Okay. And yet they took enough losses to disqualify them for regionals. So I think there's a few things that should be looked at. And yeah, I think they should be in because they're one of the best, you know, 51 at-large teams or however many at-large teams there were. I guess 40-something or 30-something.
49, so, was it?
49, yeah.
And 23. I think that was the total. But that's how that one played out. We jumped to the men. Let's rip through some conference champs. Arkansas Pine Bluff winning the SWAC. UT Rio Grande Valley, one-shot victory to win the Southland Conference. How about FGCU, Florida Gulf Coast University, their first conference title in school history. Navy wins the Patriot. Howard winning the NEC. Wright State, Presbyterian, Little Rock, Illinois State, UNCW, Charlotte, Richmond, Chattanooga, Tarleton State, and Sacramento State, all conference champions. Congrats to each and every one of them. The big three, will wrap up with this. SEC men, Jackson Coyvan wins again. Three straight SEC individual titles. Ole Miss beating Florida in the final. How about that? If you told me Tennessee women, Ole Miss men is your daily double.
Your parlay.
Sure anyone, yeah, I'm not sure anyone would have had that. But you know what? Heck of a job by Chris Malloy. You lose Lasasso to Liv, reigning NCAA individual champ. You know, Florida was right there. Taking nothing away from Ole Miss. I mean, we're now looking at a historic kind of season from Coyvan, like one of the all-time best, period. That's
yeah, and
how good he's been.
And no question, one of the all-time best spring semesters. You know, remember in the fall, he didn't win at all. And now he's got, what, 6 of 8 and wins SECs by 7 again? So,
yeah,
I mean,
Matt Hill from NC State.
Who won, what, 9 times? 8 or 9
times?
Yeah,
I'm going to say 7 in the spring.
Yeah.
So we'll dig into the numbers in May, but we're looking at one of the all-time best runs.
Yeah, and in playing, you know, Matt Hill didn't play a conference championship in like individually that featured the kind of studs that Jackson Coyvan saw last week. I mean, Christian Moss, he beat him by 9. Beat William Jennings who's had a good year by 9. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good players in this that he just absolutely made look like they shouldn't even be playing golf anymore. And I think one last thought about this is there were some teams further down the leaderboard that didn't have their best stuff, LSU being one of them, Arkansas, Vanderbilt 14th out of 16. There's some concerns there, but I think this is the time of year where it's probably better that this happens now than in 2 weeks at regionals. But Ole Miss, I got to apologize. I think on the podcast back in January, I said maybe that they were a borderline top 30 program without Lasasso. That made its way through Oxford, through the team, became bulletin board material from what I've been told. But yeah, apologies. I was absolutely dead wrong. And can they win it all? I'm still skeptical about that, but heck, this
Don't
is a huge accomplishment
that,
right? for them. Yeah, I mean, huge accomplishment for them and Colin Strollio to beat Jackson Coyvan in a match and get that kind of confidence with, you know, someone who hasn't really found his footing yet in college golf. I mean, good for him. But my one last observation, Colin Strollio acted like he won the national championship winning that match. I mean, he's like, I think he threw a club. He's like screaming, fist pumping. It's the semifinals of the SEC championship. Come on, like, act like you've been there before. You know, well, let's get ready for regionals and let's take this one step at a time. You know, don't get too excitable. So that was a little bit of a a concern if I'm an Ole Miss fan, just that, you know, maybe they, maybe the 100% belief's not there that they could win it all. And maybe that's, they got to take a step back and be like, like if we react that way, like we got to tone it down, we got to focus and we got to worry about getting the job done.
ACC, Stanford winning stroke play, but Virginia winning match play. And, you know, the Cavs, I feel like maybe we've cooled on them a little bit. And it's hard to say they're a top five team in the country. I felt like they needed that, Brentley, to head into regionals and nationals and say, no, we're still at the top of the mountain here. And we're one of those three or four teams that if you were to pick right now, would be a favorite. I think that was not critical, but pretty darn important for them to win that.
Yeah, and they're kind of the complete opposite of the rah-rah team, and that's probably why people like us overlook them a little bit, because they just show up. They're really quiet. Ben James, I think you've made the comparison before, Dustin Johnson-like, just the personality, like very unassuming. But this team seems like a lot of fun, too. They seem like they are really close. PGA Tour U did a really cool campus visit and followed them like to a sporting event and, you know, went over to their house. And it just seemed like a really cool group. And credit to Bowen Sargent for creating that culture there. And yeah, that there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to give themselves another chance. But we know match play will be difficult, but I think they at least get there. And then we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm a huge fan of the job that Bowen's done, and this team is good enough. It's just all about just getting that little bit of luck and having things roll your way.
Big 12, Preston Stout, third straight individual conference championship, helping Oklahoma State. This is the team that won it all a year ago, and they've peaks and valleys this year. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been smooth sailing, bringing basically everyone back. Sort of like Virginia, I think that was kind of a statement victory, and Preston Stout's done something no one else has ever done in the history of that conference. Now the conference hasn't quite, you know, been the Big 12 for 100 years, but he's stepping up in the postseason. That's what we say all year long.
Well, and you could argue what the best, probably the best player in school history was Lindy Miller, at least from a college perspective, right? So he won three straight Big Eights, I believe it was, many moons ago. But how cool is it to be in this era of college golf where both Jackson Koivin and Preston Stout are both winning three straight conference championships to begin their career? I mean, just two absolute just studs of players, guys we're going to be seeing on Ryder Cup teams, contending, maybe winning majors. And this team is just trending unbelievably. And last week had a chance to spend some time with them in Oklahoma for a special project that's being worked on. And don't want to reveal too much, but Preston Stout may or may not have made a PGA Tour stalwart look pretty average, pretty pedestrian for 15 holes in their match. So, yeah, that's the teaser there. It should come out in a couple weeks just before the NCAA championships. But yeah, this team's really good. And that five from last year, I was a little concerned initially in the fall about, would we see the same five run it back? Philip Fahlberg-Johnson, again, last week played incredible as well. T29, like that's pretty solid at the Big 12s, especially on a golf course like Prairie Dunes. Like I think we'll see all five of those guys back and ready to do it again.
Well, we'll be ready to do it again next week. Men's regional selection show Wednesday, 2 to 3 Eastern time. That sound about
two
right?
To three.
Mm-hmm. I'll be joining in Palm Beach down there for the PGA Works Collegiate Championship. And then
I'll be in studio. Whoa, I'm going to be up there. So I figured, see, this is all about planning, right? I had to go up there anyways to work on this Koivin feature. And I figured I'd plan it around the show and be there and make things a little easier for our producer, Mark.
That's what the good ones do. Our thanks to Justin Silverstein, women's head golf coach, head women's golf coach at USC. All the best to the teams and players making their way around the country. Always appreciate you for joining us on College Golf Talk. For Brentley, I'm Burko. We will do it again next week.